Hey, this is Brandon Crawford from the San Francisco Giants, and you're listening to TortureCast.
You're listening to a podcast by and for fans of the San Francisco Giants, with hosts Willie Dills, Chad King, and Ben Lee.
Let's go, Giants!
Dedicated to the greatest team in Major League Baseball history, the San Francisco Giants, this is TortureCast.
Welcome, everybody, to the TortureCast, the podcast by and for fans of the San Francisco Giants. My name is Willie Dills, and this is episode 97. We are sitting at the precipice of either a fantastic end to a season, a historical end to a season, or the final thud as the Giants fall completely out of favor and just into obscurity as far as the 2015 season is concerned. But we're going to talk about all of this right here on episode 97 of the TorchCast. I am joined, of course, by two of my favorite people in the entire world. Let's go ahead and start with Eric Nathanson. What's up, Eric? Welcome to the show.
Hey, Willie. How you doing?
Yeah, I've been better.
Yeah. Standing on the edge of the Giants losing. We're watching it right now. It's kind of interesting times in at the end of the season here.
We've talked on the show about how the whole even odd thing means nothing, but somehow maybe means everything, I guess. I don't know.
Odd year bullshit.
We are in the midst of odd year bullshit. Chad is also with us. Chad King, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks. You know, I'm just taking the season one podcast at a time.
Mm.
Never know what can happen.
That's the best way to take a season, just one podcast at a time.
You know, it's been a while since we recorded, but the Giants are still mathematically in it. Three more outs, and they will be alive another day.
Yeah,
let's just go ahead and just give like a sense of where we all feel right now. Mathematically in it, we've addressed that.
That's kind of like saying you're going to date, you know, some supermodel because you're in the same room.
Well, okay, now I'll give you a better analogy. That's like going on a date with a girl, and she is. Or a guy, and she is Michael Scott. She is incredibly unattractive, and you're like, she's mathematically in it. It's like, mathematically, I might still go for this at the end of the night. It depends,
how
many beers plus shots we add up into her agreeing to go home with
me. Right. Got a couple weeks left in the season.
If the equation is 7 beers plus 5 shots plus a couple glasses of wine plus she's actually kind of okay and has a good personality, we might actually end up sleeping together.
Yeah, you, might have a few shutouts in a row. You might strike out a couple of times, and before you know it, you're there.
Why is Josh Osich batting?
Why not?
Don't they have 80 guys on the bench? Why is he in there?
Are we questioning a season where Bumgarner had more pinch hits than the
Travis
cat
of Chicago
had when he was here?
Like, oh, that's beautiful.
I mean,
Osich
come on.
Is batting, huh?
Well, yeah, I don't understand this. Why?
So, well, all I can assume is that he's the best lefty left, if the only lefty left, and they got lefties coming up in the ninth. So, that's
probably
all I can
just ask you guys when you ask why is Oshitz batting? Why is
Oshitz what?
Why is 2015?
Yeah, why is 2015?
Why is 2015?
I don't know.
Can we just skip right past it and move right on to our definite 100%
because it's
world
there.
Championship in 2016? Can we just?
We're 3 months away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I'm so excited for 2016 when we finally win our fourth world championship. Like, finally.
Well, it's guaranteed.
Absolutely guaranteed. Like, the.
Jeez.
Right now, it's written in stone at this point. Like, Buster Posey is showing us why he's an MVP candidate pretty much every year from
here
on out.
Until the Giants don't win an even numbered.
Yeah, and Bumgarner is still like
it's guaranteed.
The cheapest ace in the entire history of baseball, I think, probably since the dawn of time.
Best deal in the world.
And you know, and we'll find. I'm pretty confident that we're going to bring in two good starting pitchers and supplement that with a couple of guys from our, well, some of our younger guys, like our Hestons, and maybe do okay next year, right?
It was, I think, Crick, maybe. Somebody people have been Blackburn's another one people have been talking about.
There's guys, man.
And of course, there's so much to develop over the year, you know.
Of course, Jared Parker is also going to hit 78 home runs,
apparently.
So I think we're good to go for 2016, you guys.
Yeah, he was 1-for-9 coming into his second call up, and then suddenly he's like Babe Ruth reincarnated.
And he's hit
11 for 21.
Seven home runs in his last like 17 at bats or something ridiculous.
Six home runs, 12 driven in, 9 runs scored. He's 11 for 21. That's like 548 or something.
Just had it open. He'll be like that
524. His name. Yeah.
Who was, maybe you can refresh my memory, Eric. It was about maybe 10 years ago, that Chicago Cub outfielder who hit 3 home runs on opening day.
Oh, that was about 20 years ago. It was Tuffy Rhodes.
Tuffy Rhodes.
Right. Yeah, I believe he did all Tuffy Rhodes.
So obviously he's in the Hall of Fame.
Doc Gooden, maybe.
He's in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. Oh, first ballot Hall of Famer, Tuffy Rhodes.
No, I mean, you know, that was clearly a sign that he was going to have a great year.
I mean, that's how baseball works, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who knew this Parker kid would be good, though? He's got a decent swing. The third home run he hit the other day, he attacked that first pitch. He was like, it's in my zone, I'm going for it.
He was so in the zone, it didn't matter what. I don't think it mattered what the pitch was thrown. They could have tried to intentionally walk him, or I think it would have gone the other way.
Like, I've never seen somebody make Oakland look small, and he did that weekend.
Well, you know what was really impressive about that?
I have seen someone make Oakland look small. It's called San Francisco. Oh! Oh, get wrecked, Oakland.
Da-da-da-da.
All right, sorry. Go ahead.
No, he hit an opposite field home run off an 84-mile-an-hour fastball.
Yeah, in like the blink of an eye, he was just like, yep.
That is not easy to do. I mean, you know, he's generating all the bat speed going in the opposite field. But,
you know, he's obviously studied the major league game, and he's grown his version of major league hair already. So I think he's just following
Crawford. Yeah, and the others.
He's got Brandon Crawford
and Pagan,
Garner's, you know, style hair, and he's ready. He's here. Yeah. He's here, and he's ready.
And he's got the Samardzija, you know, mustache going on, whatever. It's all good.
The guy's got style, is what we're saying, everybody. Can you tell that maybe we're a little drunk and a little bit out of sorts and we just don't give a crap anymore?
We just don't give a crap anymore.
Is that coming across to the podcast audience?
But that's what you want. You guys want to be entertained.
Yes. Are you entertained? It's like we're here at the magic number is 2 or 1?
Yeah, it's two.
But
it's two. One of their wins and one of our losses.
And it doesn't matter, this 4-game series.
Us,
right,
so essentially the magic number is 1.
It's 1 for the next 4 games.
Mm-hmm. But if the Giants get through this and sweep this series, they just have to sweep. Yeah, exactly.
I'll tell you what happens.
It's just not going to happen.
Giants sweep this series. Two things happen. First, Don Mattingly will get murdered on his way out of the ballpark by some Dodger fan.
Yeah, right? He just gets shivved somewhere, right?
And Tommy Lasorda will then take over for the playoff game and probably then beat the Giants. And that'll be the craziest story you've ever heard in your life.
Yeah, Vin Scully and Tommy Lasorda will roll over in their graves, even though
they don't have graves. Put Vin Scully down there and let him manage. He would do a better job than Don Mattingly does. Like, is it possible for a manager to literally shit the bed as much as Don Mattingly does on a consistent basis? I don't think so.
We've said this before. If Bruce Bochy managed the Dodgers, he would easily add 5 to 10 games to their win record. No doubt, in my mind, anyway.
Bruce Bochy's left cleat could manage better than Don Mattingly.
His hat, because it's so gargantuan.
It's a size 24, and it is impressive, and it would manage better than Don Mattingly. Don Mattingly is, like, the worst. He takes a team with an insane amount of money behind it and finds ways to, like, just lose in spectacular fashion. The two best pitchers in the West, and he can't, like, clinch it with an 8-game lead and 3 weeks to go. Like, how? How?
Dodgers fans are panicking. It's hilarious. I've seen some Dodgers fans across my timeline like, oh no, what if they blow this? They're imploding on themselves.
But there's no way that
there's a week
should
left.
Have come in to San Francisco with this small of a lead, considering where we were 2 weeks ago.
No, but their magic number.
Come on, Chad. There's no way they should have been.
No, they should have clinched already.
This should have been over by now.
Oh, I totally agree.
And how is it not over by now?
I totally agree. They got swept by the Rockies. Okay?
Yeah.
That's what killed them.
They found a way to make this final series interesting.
Yeah, but look, if
that's impressive,
the
man.
Shoes were reversed and the Giants are going to LA for a 4-game series and they had 7 games left in the season and they had a magic number of 2. All they need is either one win against LA or a win in their last series or 2 wins in the last series and a loss by LA. Even if they win just one more game and the Giants were to sweep them the rest of the way, it would still be tied. They would still have a playoff game. Okay? The Giants can only win the West without a playoff game. Literally, if the Dodgers lose 7 in a row, well, it would be 10 in a row, actually, because they lost 3 in a row against Colorado. But the next 7 in a row, and the Giants win all 7 in a row. That's the only way the Giants can win it outright. Otherwise, it'll be just a 1-game differential. That last series, they have to sweep the Dodgers. Clearly, that's mathematically a guarantee that has to happen to have a chance. But then they have a 3-game series left, right? Even if the Dodgers were swept, the Giants would still have to win 2 out of 3, you know? And that's not going to happen, guys. You know? It could.
Really?
It could.
Really?
Okay, wait. We'll get to it at the end of the episode, what we're going to do if that happens. We'll do that later.
I'm just going to say this. Okay, before we move on.
It would be the most epic collapse.
Oh.
Yeah. Because they're
in Major League Baseball history. In 125 years, there have been teams that have lost 3-game leads with 4 games to go. There have been teams that have lost 10-game leads with 30 games to go. There's never been a team that's lost a 6-game lead with 7 games to go. That hasn't happened, ever.
No, and this would be the biggest one ever. But the Giants fans will never forget 2010.
That's true.
We won't forget that. Because in 2010, the Padres had a massive lead. You guys know what it was. It was what, like 6 games with like...
It was 6 or 7 games at the beginning of September.
Yeah. And the Padres had like gone on in like a sick tear on the way. Like the Giants were hot and the Padres are hotter. Right. And it was just like nothing we could do to ever catch up to the Padres. It was crazy. It was just like, we're never going to gain a game because we win, they win. We win, they win. We win, they win. Both teams were incredibly hot. And I mean, that was crazy. We could talk about 93 for the Giants, where the Giants were.
No.
The Giants were how many games above the Braves, and then we ended up in the playoff game?
9 games ahead of the Braves at the All-Star break.
And we finished with 103 wins. 103 wins.
Didn't even make the playoffs.
We couldn't get into the playoffs. So, I mean, we could talk about that. The Dodgers also have done it in the past, but. Okay, 2010 Padres have to be, like, let me, okay, here we go. 2010 Padres, 6.5 game lead in the National League West.
Got it faster.
And that's on August 25th. So that is a month in the season to go. That feels bad, man, right? And the Giants not only caught up to them, tied them, and by the way, we had a chance to by the time it got to that final series,
the Giants.
All the Giants had to do was win one game.
Yep,
and we couldn't win the first two.
You're absolutely right.
And we finally won the third one.
Yep.
Like we actually not only got them, we passed them to the point where we were in the catbird seat going into that final series.
Yeah, they were like three games ahead going into that final series,
and couldn't win the first two, and won the last one, and then went on to win the World Series. So. Mm-hmm. This shit can happen, is all I'm saying. Well, now,
of course it can.
That being said, we're post-mortem here right now at TortureCast. That's how we're treating this. We're going to talk about this like it's impossible. And
because the phoenix will rise.
Yeah. Well, but it feels better to be like, it ain't happening. And then it does.
Better. There's being down by 1 or 2 runs in the 9th. This is not that. This is like
no. This is down like 10.
But is this comparable
comparable to being down 0-2 in a series against the Reds in the playoffs?
No, because I would say too no. much that
is this that is this the same as being down 3-1 against the Cardinals in the playoffs?
No, because that was incredible.
You have to win out, right?
But you only have to win 3 in a row or 2 in a row.
So we have to win what
three in a row twice. You're right.
And so we have
basically
to win
7.
Hold on, Chad. We have to win what 5 in a row?
No, they have to win minimum 6 out of the last 7 games if the Dodgers were to lose all 7 games.
So the Dodgers have to lose all the games. The Dodgers have to lose all 4 games.
Yeah, or if they lost one, the Giants
would have to
win all 7.
The Dodgers can win one game in the next series, right?
Yes, you have to sweep the Dodgers. Yeah,
okay.
You have to sweep the Dodgers.
So the Giants went how many in a row in the playoffs? And
they won 9 series in a row, and I believe 9 or 10 elimination games
row. We were down 3-1 against the Cardinals, right?
Right, right. No, I think
they won three straight
and then won 4 straight.
No, I'm just talking about elimination games. Right. Because
so that's 7 games in a row. The elimination game streak is different. But
it's not different
because
that's where they are
relevant.
Right now.
Yes.
Against the Dodgers anyway. They're in an elimination game tonight. And tomorrow, and the next day, and the next day, the next 3 days, 4 days, they're in elimination games. So even though this isn't playoffs, they've won 9 or 10 elimination games in a row. So there is that, you know.
So what team can do this?
What team can't do it? All of them.
No, what team can do this?
None of them.
None of them.
The Giants.
Because you can't rely on the Dodgers to lose.
The Giants can do this. There's one team that can do this is the Giants.
I know.
Giants,
see,
right?
Just what Eric said right there. Even if the Giants sweep the Dodgers, and that would be...
I know.
Oh,
I
my
know.
God. That would be fantastic. But they would be 2 games behind going into the 3-game series. So the Dodgers minimum have to lose 2 out of 3. The Giants would have to sweep, and then they would be a playoff game. But, of course,
now, here's why I don't think the Giants can do this. And this is why I'm saying...
It's out of their hands.
Postmortem, right? So, first of all, yes, obviously the Dodgers have the ability to win one game after this, which is very doable. But the other reason why I don't think the Giants are the team that can do this is because our lineup currently consists of
the Sacramento
Angel
River
Pagan,
Cats. Yes.
Parker, Duffy in the third spot, which is fine. Posey, Crawford, Bird, Tomlinson, Brown. And then our rotation,
you know,
is Bumgarner and some other guys.
I know, but ironically tonight Brown was the guy who's given him the lead.
I know.
Yeah.
I get that. But this isn't the Giants team that came back against the Reds.
It'd be hilarious.
And the Cardinals you know what I mean? Like they
could come back and then they'd fall flat on their face in the playoffs because this is just not a very good ball club right now.
There's no way this team could maybe we could bunt guys into errors and magically win games.
Like we did in 2014. Yeah.
But I'm saying team still had Hunter Pence in right field. You know what I'm saying?
God, I miss him.
Without Hunter Pence.
I know. Oh my God.
Without our Joe Panic second base guy that was amazing.
Miss him.
Without all of these guys, without Panda, obviously, and as much as Panda is a piece of shit this year, the years we won, he wasn't. Especially 2014. He was not the piece of shit Panda that he is this year. What I'm saying is we're not that team right now. We just aren't. We're Buster Posey, Madison Bumgarner, and some guys who are cool stories, and then some other guys who are cool.
Well,
you're
the
playing right field.
Jared Parker's been fun. Mac Williamson was
Mac
fun. He drilled a few balls.
Marlon Byrd's been fun. Let's talk about all the fun guys.
I want to talk about Josh Osich did so far.
What, by giving up the 2 runners here?
Yeah, so he gave up back-to-back singles, Willie, going off in the top of the 9th. So first and second, nobody out. They have now replaced him with Casilla. So,
throw the notes out.
Sack bunt.
Can we talk about Santiago
and
the friggin' hate that this guy gets?
He
talked about this on the show in the past.
It's not deserved.
Yes, he's had an up and down season. But every reliever in the history of baseball has an up and down season. Like, at some point. The guy's been rocks for years, and then he's, like, thrust into a closer role that he's probably not really supposed to be in, right?
Sure.
I want the Giants to be the first team that goes, you know what? We don't have a closer. We have, you know, eight guys in our bullpen, and we just use them how we like. That's what I want, man. When is the team going to do that?
Yeah, he couldn't do that.
But you don't think so?
No.
You don't think that could be a successful strategy in the major leagues?
Loyalty seems to be a big thing with these baseball players.
But what if the manager says, and Bruce Bochy is the guy who I think could get a bullpen behind this, and says, listen, I don't think any of you guys are better than anybody else. I think all you guys are super valuable to our team. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to put you into the best position to do well I can every single time. And I'm never going to put you out there and force you to finish a game when your arm is fucking tired and hurt and you don't feel like you're going to have like a good outing and the guy's a lefty against you and you're a righty, you know, bad history. I'm just going to put you in the best position every single time.
Well, yeah.
You don't think that a bullpen guy can get behind that?
So I just want to update you. There was a ground out that did score a run, tying run, in the ninth inning.
Yeah.
So it's 2-2. So now, and they got another out. So they're going to the bottom of the ninth, tied 2-2. Because of course,
Chad,
the Giants can't close it out.
I want an answer though.
Great positioning.
Yeah. You don't think that bullpen pitchers would get behind a manager who comes to them with a legitimate like plea, like I don't want to pick a closer. I just want you guys to pitch in good situations.
Well, I think guys like aspire to be a closer. So I think they feel like when they're working in the middle, they're trying to work their way up. And the closer guy is like the king of the mountain. So I think that there's too much ego involved in the world of sports. Yeah. You got to have that king of the mountain.
Yeah, but what if he comes to you and says, there ain't no king of the mountain? You guys are all the king of the mountain.
Well, yeah, I think you tried that moment. When Casilla
the moment
won the
you're
job.
On the mound, you're the king of the mound.
I know. I get that. And the Giants have done that a little bit in the past.
We have done it in the past.
Casilla and Romo.
Yeah.
I get
Casilla
it.
Casilla and Romo shared it. Yeah.
They did. And they shared it. And it actually was not that bad. But
I really think that's the future of baseball. And everyone's just refusing to acknowledge it.
I think it could be the future of baseball. When I played baseball, you know, it wasn't the major leagues because no one was getting paid contracts, right? Everybody really literally cared about the win.
I know it throws off the contracts, like the negotiations, like I'm a closer, yeah,
well,
I deserve
that's the whole point.
$12 million a year,
that's
right?
That's what's bullshit about it. If
I know,
contracts weren't there,
but
and it was just
okay,
solely based on talent. Exactly. Well, yeah,
think about the
right.
Warriors this year, right?
Yeah.
The Warriors this year had some guys come in who were all stars on other teams,
yep.
And they said, will you,
I will take a
Andre
bench
Iguodala,
yep.
Will you come off the bench,
yep.
And you will be the guy off the bench,
mm-hmm.
And then guess what? Now you're the finals MVP. That's how it ended up. That's that story's ending. And I think that there is...
It's like Travis Ishikawa hitting a three... Never mind.
No, it's not like that.
No,
but,
I know.
But it is like saying, yeah. Hey, this is how we're going to use you guys. We're not going to massage egos. We're just going to put the guy in who has the best. Like, Bogut didn't even play in the finals, barely, right? And we traded away our best player to get him. That's the Warriors. He didn't even play. But he sat on the bench and he supported his teammates. He's making a ton of money. David Lee was the highest paid player on the Warriors. I talked to David Lee before the finals and I was like, dude, I just hope you get a chance to play. And he was like, you know what? I don't even care. I just want us to win. I think that we're not giving these players enough credit. I think that the agents are the ones who make us feel like the players are kind of pieces of shit.
Well, I really believe that. You talk about closer, and it's funny because I got to bring up Papelbon because he's a closer. You talk about closers, the way Matt Williams used closers. He only said that, you know, Papelbon would pitch in closing situations, and he had a standard, he's our closer. He's our closer, mm-hmm. for why they went to him in certain situations. I don't know if it's – I think it's
– But that's been invented by baseball, right? Like,
Well, yeah. I mean, it's weird.
There wasn't a closer until the late 80s, really. I mean,
I remember like when Bruce Sutter came about, and
but he would pitch three innings
back in the day. Yeah,
they would pitch three innings and be the closer. That's how they closed.
Yeah,
they were just the best pitcher on the team.
And then like Dennis Eckersley.
Dennis Eckersley was the first guy who was like a one inning specialist.
Yeah, I think he came in
and
pitched
one inning. And that's where, you know, because the saves thing came about with, like, yeah, Goose Gossage, who would come in, and he'd pitch three innings. And he would be, like, essentially, like, a second starter. Like, our starter got us six innings, and we have the lead, and then Goose Gossage comes in and pitches three innings and finishes it off. So it wasn't till Eckersley, and then even after that, where we had these, like, guys who just pitched one inning and then threw really hard and all that. And then, of course, you got, like, you know, what's his fuck from the Padres?
Trevor Hoffman.
Trevor Hoffman, who, like, really made it a specialized position, right?
Well, this is all Tony La Russa's fault. That guy started using
right?
like yeah. this. He totally fucked it up for everybody.
Well, what I'm saying is Tony La Russa can change the game in that way. Bruce Bochy can change the game the other way. I really believe that. I really do believe that. Like, if you wanted to, you could say, look, closers are bullshit. We don't need closers. We just need to put a guy who's got the best record against that guy and get that out and get the next out and get the next out. That's all we got to do.
No, I agree. It's just changing the culture of baseball.
Yeah. That's a hard thing barrier. To do. Yeah. But it's been done. That's what I'm saying.
It has.
It's been done. We did it when Eckersley changed that. Yeah. Like that. It's been done. Yeah. It has been done.
All right.
Maybe we could see like Lincecum come back and be part of that, you know? Because Lincecum can't come back as a starter, that's for damn sure. But he could come back as a, you know, two out, three out guy in the middle of a game.
Since we are kind of talking a semi postmortem, especially when the Dodgers tied.
Oh yeah, we're just talking shit at this point. Like that's why I'm spending so much time on this, you guys. Like
it's freaking Dodgers.
Because I don't care.
Dodgers are trolling us while we're recording. They're two outs away from winning, and they got to go and tie that shit up.
But, oh, yes. Okay.
No, one thing I wanted to say is that, of course, two nails in the coffin, I think, this year. We've talked about this before with a 3-game sweep in L.A. and the 4-game sweep in Chicago. Those just absolutely killed the Giants. I mean, even if they had split or won 2 out of 3 or whatever, they would have still been in the race. But I wanted to look a little bit deeper in that. I know the Giants had not been doing too well in one-run games. And, in fact, it was Bags who tweeted out that they're 2-15 after their win, by the way, in Oakland. So they were 1-15. They're 2-15 in one run games in their last 17. And what the hell? 2-15? So they were 1-15 before yesterday. Overall, though, I looked at the entire Major League Baseball record. They are actually 17-27. In one-run games, and that's the third worst in the National League, fifth worst in the major leagues. And it's a little disconcerting because they're an above 500 team, and you think, okay, let's look at the last 17 games where they're 2-15. Even if they were one game under 500, basically kind of playing towards the mean, 8-9, that would be a 6-game difference from where they are now, meaning they would be...
Voila, they'd be tied.
Tied with the Dodgers right now.
Okay, so let's talk about what a winning and losing record in one-run games actually means.
Well,
most of it would be luck.
2014.
That's exactly where I'm going, Chad.
Yep.
This is BABIP to me. Like, this is...
Well, and I'll tell you why, because there are some oddities, and I put them in the notes here. Toronto, one of the best records in the major leagues. Guess what their record is in one-run games? 15-27. It's actually worse than the Giants.
Yeah, so they destroy you. Or
but they've scored in double digits like a million times.
Yeah. And then
I think over an entire season, the stuff like this, we could look at this and we go, oh, the one-run games. But the stuff like this, like ultimately to me means like we got kind of unlucky this season. And yep. People did say that the Giants got lucky the years they won, and we have defended the Giants as saying, yes, but they made their own luck, but we do agree that our BABIP was fantastic, and we won a little bit on luck. And, like, I'm going to go back to the Warriors here. Mm-hmm. The Warriors didn't have any injuries for an entire season, basically.
Perfect example.
Yeah. And the Giants in, 2010 and 2012, 2014, had very few injuries, and that's luck. A little bit of his luck, a little bit of his, like, guys in your, underneath the guys in the background who you don't really see doing their jobs, but it's also luck.
Yeah.
And it's impossible to play out all of these things and control all of them. And at a certain point, things go your way and things don't. And over 162 games, they tended to not go our way this year. So,
you know, what's go ahead, Eric. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, it's really kind of amazing to think, though, that they've won 81. They're going for their 82nd win tonight. They're going to end up with a winning record. They're going to end up the second-place team in their division. And with all of that bad luck that
they've had, worst luck ever with injuries. Yeah,
they're very competitive team still in the meantime. You know, them being a so-so team and knowing just, you know, maybe if that luck had turned a little bit, it's crazy to think how good they can be when all those parts are there.
I imagine this Giants team, when Hunter Pence plays 162 games like he did,
in
5 years in a row or whatever it was. Like, imagine this team. Imagine this team if Tim Lincecum actually is Tim Lincecum. Like we've been dealing with like subpar performances from guys that we're giving a lot of leeway to for a long time now, and this year it just all kind of hit at the same time. A guy like Joe Panic going down for the amount of time he did is just, to me, insane. In the past, we've had guys like Brandon Belt go down, which, granted, Brandon Belt going down is crappy, but Brandon Belt going down is not Buster Posey going down, not Joe Panic going down.
Posey and Duffy, the only ones that didn't go down at all this year?
Yes,
I'm looking around the diamond. So. I think that's
like true. Even guys like Romo actually had to miss a little bit of time. Like it's I can't think of like who didn't miss time. We had Crawford miss time.
Yeah, he got banged up after the LA series.
Yeah, well, obviously Pagan as well. If all these guys Aoki, are
everybody,
and it really it is like kind of a luck deal. Like it's. You land a little wrong as you're diving for a ball and stuff like that. But this stuff can really stick with you too. Like I'm worried about Joe Panic going forward because something like a back injury for a second baseman, when you have to dive for a ball, you rattle your body, your body gets rattled.
He's so young.
And it just makes me think of other second basemen we've had.
All right. Game update. Giants have second and third with two outs
and Kelby
Tomlinson up to bat. So he just needs a little poke or an error or something like that. So we were touching upon bad luck and I'm not what you would call a professional sabermetrician, but I do like sabermetrics. Mm-hmm. And one of the biggest ones is expected win percentage based on runs scored versus runs against. And it's this algorithm. It's just it's actually a very simple equation, but you have 125 years of baseball to test this against, right? You can go back and actually say, okay, halfway through the season, three quarters of the way through the season, can we predict the final win percentage, wins and losses of every team in baseball? So what they've run their simulations a billion times, and then what they've come up with is basically runs scored to the exponential of 1.81 divided by runs scored to that same exponential plus runs against to that same exponential, 1.81. I know that sounds crazy, but apparently it's like 95% accurate in the 125 years of baseball because you can go back and you can test it. You can do it all you want. So I went through... and I tested this against the current stats. Of course, we're only seven games from the end of the season. So we're basically a full season of runs scored versus runs against. And what's really interesting is the Giants actually have scored 37 more runs than the Dodgers this year.
Well, the Giants have had a fantastic offense.
Yeah.
All season.
Yeah. Great
even
offense.
Even when the guys all left. But the fact is, we would have had a more outstanding. Like, the Giants would have been, like, historically good on offense.
Could you imagine even if Jake Peavy pitched like he's pitching now throughout the season, that mm-hmm. you pick up 2-3 wins there?
Yeah.
Probably.
From when he was maybe even more. At the end of the season.
No, but, yeah. But what I'm saying is, like, forget pitching. Like, let's talk just offense. I think the Giants would have been historically good. If yeah. you keep Hunter Pence and you keep Joe Panic and you keep all these guys throughout the entire season,
yeah.
like I really think the Giants would have been.
Well, and I think that's what this.
And Pagan.
This calculation kind of resorts to, because all the injuries kind of happen near the end of the year. So it's like catching up with them right now in terms of win-loss yeah. percentage.
But Pence has been in and out like for all of it, like, and missed huge chunks as well. So
yeah, because the Giants have only allowed 17 more runs than the Dodgers, which exceeds or is lower than their runs scored for.
Yeah.
So basically, long story short, the Giants' expected win total is 90 based on those runs and runs against. The yeah. Dodgers' expected win total is 88.
Wow. So
wow.
According to like how it should have, yeah. So again, this is the luck factor.
Yeah, and they said that 95% of these teams in the history of Major League Baseball will be within 3 wins of their expected total, meaning that the Giants would be between 87 and 93. The Dodgers would be between 85 and 91.
Wow.
And the Giants are not going to get to 90. In fact, they may not even get to
87. Yeah, no.
They're probably not going to get to 87.
And if they get to the playoffs, it's
going to
be kind of like amazing that it even happens.
Yeah, well, so what that tells you is that there's only been, in the last 15 years, they said there's only been one team that's been outside of that norm. And it was 2 years for the Diamondbacks in 2007, 2005. So if the Giants continue this trend, unless they win out the season, they're going to be the third team in the last 15 years that basically are outside of this 4-game buffer of this yeah. expectation. And that just shows you the bad luck they've had with injuries.
That's crazy.
Yeah. I told you the Dodgers were vulnerable. That's part of the reason I picked the Giants to win the division this year. It's kind of stunning to hear with the math that they absolutely were vulnerable. They're only yep. going to win like 88, 90 games. The Giants absolutely had a shot at them this year.
Well,
they may not be
yeah.
this week next year, you know?
But I really do believe that, yes, the Dodgers were vulnerable, but there's no way that any team that had the amount of injuries the Giants had should ever win the division. And
oh hell no.
Like no. And if they do, this is like the first time this has happened. Like it's the Giants have been just
well, since the
Cardinals
riddled, won
just
83
riddled, dude.
83 games I think in 2011.
I can't think of a team that has had as many injuries as the Giants have had and done anything at all. Like we should be bottom of the barrel. The fact is the West is terrible. We know this. Like
yeah.
But for us to have a chance at this point, I was just talking about second baseman, like the bad luck. Like Joe Panic is. Please don't enter the realm of Freddy Sanchez, Marco Scudero. Like, but this is what it is like. It's like here we go again, you know. And the Giants are
he's a
historically good amount of offense that we could have had and a historically bad amount of injuries that we did have. And it's, and then of course the pitching, you know, we had like Matt Cain, Tim Lincecum, and a bunch of guys who like, how many pitchers have we had? Starting pitchers have we had this season? Does anybody have that number?
That's
that
a great
shit
question.
Is insane.
We,
it's actually lower than
them.
LA.
Yeah, it is.
Well,
17.
Okay. Well, LA's had a sick amount, but they did that like really early on. That was all like right at the beginning of the season for them. As the season has gone on, they've like kind of stabilized in that regard. So anyway, this is, you know, this has been a weird season, man.
Yeah.
And
yeah, but
we are going to do a show whether the Giants get in or not. If the Giants get in, our show is going to be holy shit, the Giants got in. And if they don't get in, our show is going to be okay, let's fucking talk about how stupid this dumb season was. And
oh my god, if they get in, that'll be the craziest show ever. We're all
I know, right?
Sitting there dumbfounded.
This is gonna be me pouring champagne into my asshole and talking about how crazy or my mouth. Whatever.
And they don't have to play a wild card game. Yeah. Hell yeah. Yeah,
I know, right? It's just been one of those seasons, man. So let's just move on.
Yeah.
Let's just move on.
Yeah, Casilla just moved on, walked the leadoff batter in the 10th.
Sure, moved on to the second batter. Why not?
Why not?
All right, dude, we don't need to talk about Marlon Byrd or any of that shit. Let's just talk about favorite guys. Favorite guys. All right, look. Imagine this is your last favorite guy.
Oh, God.
Who is it?
Hey, now.
You guys going to change?
Absolutely. That would change.
No, I'm not changing it because I don't care.
Yeah.
I'm going to pretend like...
Chad, you got the favorite guy everybody wants.
I'm
going to
pretend
so
I didn't know that the zombie apocalypse was going to happen. So I'm going with Jarrett Parker because, holy crap, dude. We talked about him earlier. 1 for 9 coming up. Sent back down. Came back up. Hit a couple of bombs and then a third bomb. And then he hit 3 bombs in one day. So that's home runs in 3 consecutive games. Well, not today.
Yeah, by the way, if you just type in Jarrett right now, you get Jarrett Parker as the top thing because he is it's that crazy. It's that crazy.
I mean, you know, to see the first one, it's like, okay. And the second one was like, holy crap. Third one, the game was tied 10-10 with the bases loaded.
Let's talk about that game real quick.
Oh, wow.
That game was the craziest thing I've ever seen. So that game was billed as Barry Zito, Tim Hudson, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those guys both lasted, 1 1/3 and,
And 2+.
And 2. And 2, yeah.
So they were gone, very quickly.
Well, Tim Hudson was really sad because he gave up 3 runs without giving up a hit.
Oh, my God. He couldn't find the strike zone. Yeah. It was like Little League. You're watching it happen,
it was weird.
It was walk, walk, error, hit by pitch, walk, hit by pitch, walk. I mean, it was just...
The fielders fell asleep.
It was a super weird game, and this is what happens in Oakland.
5 strikes. That's bad.
Oh my.
I don't know if you guys go to Oakland very often, but shit gets weird when you go to Oakland. I mean, I'm just telling you.
I don't like that stadium. That stadium.
Sometimes I go to Oakland and I'm like, yo, I got to be home by 10. And the next thing I know, I'm diving into bushes on friggin' Gilman Street. And that's what happens when I go to. It's just a weird town and weird things happen. And that's. I don't like going to Oakland. I just don't like it.
Yeah.
And weird shit happened that day. 10-10. This guy comes up.
10-10.
He's got 2 home runs already. This guy comes up. He's hit 2 home runs already. Did we say that already? We preface this where he's already hit 2 home runs. What does he get thrown? Like a fucking hanger. And he
cheese ball
destroys it on the first pitch and it's a grand slam and it is the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. All those guys come out of that old crappy dugout and just rub his hair and it was one of the greatest things I've ever seen.
That was fantastic.
Franchise record 9th grand slam on the season.
Yes.
Oh wow.
They already had
so on a shitty season we had
set the record
moments
with 8.
Like this.
Yeah, they tied it with 8 when Kelby hit his.
Yep.
That is super cool, by the way. Like, to have a shitty season like this, you got to have moments like that that, like, okay, at least I can look back and remember this.
And also, by the way, there's been a lot of pub today saying that if the Yankees win one more game, they'll win 10,000 games as a club.
Well, we've already done that, so fuck that.
Yeah.
Mind you, the Giants are number one all time in wins with over 10,529 wins.
Yeah, so suck it, Yankees.
So suck it, Yankees.
So, okay, while we're doing this, Jarrett Parker on the next year's team.
Yeah, why not?
Who knows?
Well, how do you feel about this?
What about, have you guys seen Mac Williamson hit too? He's hit the ball hard a few times.
These guys all look great. I mean, this makes me feel much better about my life when I see these guys doing really good. But where do they belong? Because obviously Hunter Pence is your right fielder, and you want him to be healthy all season. Angel Pagan is a huge question mark. Nori Aoki is a guy I really like, and if he can be healthy, wouldn't mind seeing as well.
Yeah, but Parker.
But Williamson, like, let's infuse some youth, man. Right? Like, yeah. Come on, man, let's go.
Guys who hit home run, Parker could hit balls in the Cove. I think he'd be fun to watch.
He's okay, strong as shit. So yeah. Let's put him out there, man.
Let me ask you this.
Let's see what he can do.
You know, most of the Twitterverse is like, get all the outfielders possible. Sign Cespedes, sign this guy, blah, 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 blah. But to be honest, Mike Leake has actually disappointed me so far.
Oh, me too. Oh,
But he also got hurt right away.
No, he hasn't been a train wreck.
He's been a good pitcher for his entire career, and it's really unfair to, like, judge him on just what he did after getting injured and trying to come back. I think he's better than what he's been here.
Let me put it this way. If his latest performance, his performance with the Giants, actually hurts his market value,
we're going to see him on his last performance, by the way, on Wednesday.
That's true. That's great for the Giants because that will reduce his market value. But if the league, because they're starved for pitching, it perceives his value as just as high as it was 6 months ago, I think that's going to hurt the Giants. But, you know,
if the Giants have to sign him for a huge amount of money, I think you skip him.
Yeah, exactly. You take a pass.
Some price action, right?
Yes, go for price.
Yeah, like that's how you do that. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about outfielders right now. So, like, let's just keep Pence and let's just dump all the old guys and let's just bring up the young guys. And Blanco is an amazing backup who can also start.
I would love Blanco as a backup. Yeah, I would.
But who can also start? And if we have Pagan out of there, who's like doesn't have the I must be the center fielder vibe to him, we got something, right? Like,
so do you want someone like Cespedes?
No. I think he's kind of cancer. I love his bat, but
I agree with you.
I think he's kind of cancer. I would much rather just have a really good fielding center fielder who's fast, and then Pence, and then let's shove Parker in.
Yeah, the Giants just don't get guys like that and win.
No.
They don't.
But we could.
They never have. You know? They go for guys like, you know,
all right.
Superstars. Like, and
talk amongst yourselves. I'll be right back.
Talk amongst yourselves.
Well, I like the idea of like somebody like, I mean, obviously in spring training, they're going to all get a look, but how, you know, here's the question. We're sitting here debating this, but what do you do with Pagan? How do you force Pagan out of that center field role and then put him on the bench instead of like sliding him to left?
Cause he's got at the moment, I'd rather, right.
Yeah. I'd rather have Parker in left than Pagan at this point.
Yeah. No, it's hard to say. Oh my goodness.
It's kind of hard to look at. So what's the count where you're at? Because I'm lagged behind.
1-1 with two outs.
Oh, wow. I'm only a pitch behind. That's pretty good.
Yeah, I'm runners on first and second with two outs. So
yeah. Okay, good. I've only been a pitch behind. That's why whenever you cut in with the update, I know it. I hope they don't. Like, do you care if the Dodgers clinch in San Francisco? Does it really make a difference in the grand scheme of things to you?
No, because look, this, especially if the Dodgers don't win the World Series this year, then you just kind of go, oh, you clinched in San Francisco. Did you win the World Series again? Oh, wait, no, you haven't since 1988. Sorry.
It's like, how cute.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if they win the World Series, it's a little bit of a, you know, a little bit of a stepping stone, I guess, for the Dodgers. It still doesn't come close to 3-5. I mean, you just can't.
Whoa. The Dodgers winning the World Series would be like a little stepping stone for them?
No.
No, we'd never hear the fucking end of it, is what
be. That's not what I was saying.
It'd be like 3-5 means nothing. We won it this year. Fuck you. That's exactly
how it would go. Scoreboard. Yeah. No. What I was saying,
I would like to keep my, like, you know, shut your 1988 out.
No, I agree.
Status, which is pretty good.
If the Dodgers clinched in San Francisco this year, which they did in 2006 and also in 1975, that's it. You know, that's the only two times they've clinched.
Wow, that's amazing.
Do you guys remember the Grand Slam?
By Joe Morgan?
Center field? No. In like
Steve Finley?
Yeah, over. Yeah, Steve.
Oh, Hill. Yeah, that was bad. That was really bad.
I watched that in a bar, like next door to my work. I had to go back to work and like,
yeah,
pretend like I gave a shit.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
It's terrible.
But no one. I mean, yeah, we remember it, but it's not anywhere significant like a World Series victory. What I'm saying is that if they don't win the World Series,
getting eliminated on your
clinch in San Francisco, it doesn't mean shit. It doesn't mean shit.
Now, you know what though?
Do win the World Series after clinching in San Francisco, then there's a little bit more meaning behind it. So that's all I'm saying.
I will. Oh Jesus! But we'll say this. We'll say this, Chad. If they do clinch in San Francisco, I hope they do it tomorrow, and not when we're there.
Yeah. Well. Yeah.
Being there for it would be so sad, and I just don't want to.
I hope you guys get to see 69. The Giants might go splash hitless this year. That's kind of freaky. I mean, how can they not have hit one out there?
Well, Brandon Crawford like set on 19, and Buster Posey set on 99 forever. So.
Well, Crawford got his 20.
Maybe we sit on 68 for a long time, but here comes 69.
Yeah, Crawford got his 20, but I don't know if Posey's going to get his 100.
Are we still on favorite guy, or where are we at?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
All right, let's go, Eric.
I'll say Jake Peavy because he surpassed all expectations.
Eric, you talked a lot of shit about a motherfucker named Jake Peavy.
I did.
Early in the season and said you hope that he found an injury within his bowels, and now you're picking him as your new favorite guy late in the season. So talk me through that process.
I commend Jake Peavy. He's totally turned me around with every start. The guy's been pitching his 6-7 innings every time. And you know what I mean? You got to give a guy credit when he kind of shoves it right back in your face. And I've eaten a lot of crow with Jake Peavy.
Yeah.
So I'll take
him. He's that kind of pitcher, right?
He's a deadhead. I'm a deadhead. So, you know, I should have been nice in the first
place. Do you like fish, too?
Yes, I do. We're kindred spirits. So.
All right. Have you heard of the show Analyze Fish?
I have. I've downloaded it, but I never ended up listening to it.
Well, you should listen to that. Yeah.
Should I?
Yeah, you really. So I'm a fan of Analyze Fish, not because I like fish, but because I really like Scott Aukerman and Harris Whittles. And rip Harris Whittles. I actually sometimes watch. He died of a drug overdose, but he was a writer on Parks and Rec, and a really good comedian and stand-up, and he was one of the funniest guys ever. He was a huge fish fan. And that was what that whole show was about, is him trying to convince a non-fish fan to be a fan of fish. And it's like one of the greatest podcasts you've ever heard.
Oh, that's clever.
Yeah. Right. You should really check that out. But yeah, rip Harris Whittles. Now I'm going to cry again. All right.
Here we go. No, don't cry.
All right. My favorite guy, Hunter Pence. Hunter Pence hasn't been around for a while, and that sucks. But he's been doing a lot of, like, to me right now, he's just, like, the best Giant. Because this guy just loves the Giants, represents the Giants everywhere he goes. I was at TwitchCon this last weekend, and he was there. And he was there with his girlfriend, Lexi. She has a Twitch channel, Let's Get Lexi. They've been doing a lot of gaming content and stuff. And there's a video of him and his girlfriend doing like a blind drawing thing with a dude from the Oakland A's. It's pretty funny. But anyway, Hunter Pence has just been like, he's injured, but he's still like there. And he's still around. He's still a Giant. And I just love like the fact that he just like loves the Giants so much. And I know it's hurting him to not be around, but I don't know, man. I still feel the love from Hunter Pence, and I want to give some love back to that guy because, like, he's my favorite Giant right now. Like, yeah, Buster Posey's like the easy pick, but
yeah,
Hunter Pence is so awesome. And I hope like when his contract is done, he just re-signs and like finishes his entire career with the Giants.
I bet he does.
I think he does.
He fell in love with the community and everything.
No,
he just wants to be a part of it.
He found his city. Like, this city, he still lives in Texas.
This place is way better than Houston.
Yeah, no, he still lives in Texas, but he lives here more, right? Yeah. Like, I got a house in Texas, but I spend most of my time here.
Yep.
And he, like, hangs out at the Twitch front offices and all that. Like, yeah, he's found something here that he didn't find when he was playing in other places. And that's what San Francisco can offer. I want players to realize that, you know?
Yeah.
And they don't really. Like, they're like, oh, the stadium, it's hard to hit there. But, like, guess what? You get to win championships. You get to, like, find all these, like, cool opportunities to – and you're a hero in San Francisco. You're a hero. Like, Pablo Sandoval could have stayed here forever and had a statue one day. And he fucked that up, man. And
yeah, he did.
You know?
But do you think he did?
He did. Maybe 10, 15. Well, he could have stayed here, man. He could have stayed here. Obviously, we wouldn't have the Matt Duffy story.
We're glad he didn't.
I'm happy. Fat Pablo is doing Fat Pablo stuff.
Yep.
But if he stayed here, we would have been like defending Fat Pablo, right?
Oh, yeah.
We would have been like, Instagram, but just keep hitting like 270, dude. Like, it's cool.
Don't like it when you're on the shitter.
No, he's like the worst in the league in WAR or something. Like, literally, it's kind of hysterical.
It's pretty bad. But I'll say this: like, San Francisco fans, like any sports fan, are pretty reactionary. But we have proven ourselves to be some of the most loyal fan bases in sports.
Oh yeah,
like the fact that we still cheer for Tim Lincecum after 3 years of 5+ ERAs.
Could you imagine him as a Philly? They'd be like,
They would have booed him out. Like, yeah, his injuries would have been caused by soda cans to the side of the head.
Yeah.
Like, but in San Francisco, he's a god. He can walk into any bar for the rest of his life in San Francisco and get a free drink. Yep. And that's how San Francisco treats their guys. No doubt.
Barry Zito's another one.
Barry Zito! Fuck yeah! $120+ million. We don't care. Give us one World Series.
Yep.
Two good starts. You're good.
Yep. I love Verlander. Barry Zito.
Win that's elimination six, game.
$61 million a start. That's all we care about.
Yep. That's fine.
Yeah. All right. Let's hate on some people. Chad, I think we're all basically just hating on the same guy, but why don't you lead us off?
Yeah, we don't have to go too far into this, but Jonathan Papelbon. I mean, you know, it's one thing. You call a young guy out for not hustling out a fly ball. Granted, if it was dropped, and by the way, the statistics showed it was 99.9% of those fly balls are caught. So if it was dropped, he would have easily been on first, and it still would have been a stretch to even think he could have been on second. Granted, it was a tied game, and Papelbon was pitching.
Can you explain the situation you're describing a little bit more? Like, what happened here, Chad?
Yeah, no, it was a tie game, and I can't remember how many outs there were. I guess
it's a tie game. It is one out. Is the team in question in a pennant race or
neither? No, they're eliminated.
They're eliminated for competition. You say
yes.
Oh, is the guy running to first base? Like a rookie who has yet to prove himself?
No, he's a 4-year superstar and probably will win the MVP.
Oh, that's weird. Yep. Okay. Yep. Now, is that guy also like a really bad teammate who's been talking shit about the rest of his team for the entire season or something?
No, but he did talk shit about Papelbon.
Oh, now this is making sense. Okay.
Yep. Yep.
We've got ourselves a Jose Canseco, Mark McGuire situation, I think.
Yep. So we had
it doesn't make Papelbon.
It didn't even happen in a book though. It just happened in the dugout.
Yeah, 22-year-old versus a 34-year-old, but you know what happened? And Papelbon got suspended by Major League Baseball for throwing at Manny Machado's head for 3 games, and then he got suspended by the Nationals for 4 games, and you add those together and guess what? He's not here on the team. He's gone.
I'm curious to know if this guy ever plays another game in the major leagues.
Oh, he will.
Oh, yeah, he will.
You think so?
Oh.
Yeah, somebody will take him.
Now, he is under contract.
But it's going to be a rough situation.
So it has to be a trade. So that's what's going to be interesting.
Well, they could let him go.
He definitely isn't coming back to the Nationals.
Well, they could let him go.
Eat the contract. Yeah, eat the contract.
There's no way he comes back to the Nationals. Because
No. He's not back with the Nationals.
Mm-mm. But he's on the tails. He's on the backside of his career.
Yeah, of course. But he still has a lot of life left. I mean,
All right.
Some team's gonna take him. Believe me, 30 teams.
I don't think he'll be like. Honestly, how hilarious would it be if the Giants grab him up?
No,
they won't do it.
Our new closer.
Yeah,
they won't do it.
No way.
I don't think so.
No, they don't grab the dickheads. They all right, Eric. For guys that want to be a teammates.
Who do you want to hate on?
Oh, it's the same. It's Papelbon.
Yeah!
I can't stand the SOB. I've never been able to stand him. I've always thought he's this live wire that's just like too little nutso out there. He never should have thrown at Machado. I don't get it. I just don't get it. You don't choke a teammate in the dugout. And then they go and they act like it's no big deal. F that. You know, you can't do that kind of stuff. Okay. Papelbon is a jackass.
Well, you know, and CJ Nikowski... And if you
Man, he and I went back and forth last night for between like probably 8 to 10 tweets between each other talking about it.
Oh, really?
I couldn't believe
did
he was
respond
defending
to
players.
You? I didn't realize that.
Oh, yeah.
I saw him responding to a ton this afternoon, and he said, What did he say? My best decision of the day, and it was a gif of him closing his laptop.
Yes. Yeah, no, he and I last night went back and forth a lot. I caught the article like right when it came out. And I singled something out of it, and I tweeted it at him, being like, you got to be kidding me, CJ. And we went back and forth. A lot of people jumped into my mentions all night long. Like, I it's taking me a while to find it now.
Well, it was interesting because he had a lot of quotes from current and former major leaguers, basically, you know, justifying what Papelbon did. But, you know, and he says, it's not like your office. It's not you don't understand. You don't understand. You've never been in a major league clubhouse. Da 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 da. Look at all these quotes. Look at all the people that are behind, Papelbon on this. And it's like, no, look, I get, and I totally get someone dogging a 22-year-old guy, even if he's a superstar and he's an NL, you know, MVP, jogging out a fly ball in a tight game. I even get calling him out. But once Harper enticed him, and it wasn't, you know, good for Harper to do that, but it's not, you know, his fault that he went for him. You don't choke a bitch. You don't do that. I mean, I'm sorry. That's just bad. It's bad form. And he's like, it's not like your office. And it's like, well, yeah, no, it's not like your office, but that's also not real life. You don't choke people in real life. And I don't care about your office. That's real life. You don't choke people.
Yeah, you're right. He doesn't see it from a real life. He only sees it from a baseball. He said to me last night, run hard. Don't pop off about a teammate in the media. And this never happens. Simple. So he was trying to put the blame squarely on Harper for Harper making a comment the other day after Papelbon threw at Machado.
Yeah. No, it's
like it makes it okay for Papelbon to be the crusty veteran that says, no, you must do it my way.
No, it's messed up. And I get people pissed off at Harper. I do. But you don't choke a guy. No. You just don't. Period. No matter what walk of life. You know,
people get fired. People get, you know, arrested for that kind of stuff that we saw.
Yeah, people. I mean, if someone chokes someone on the street and it was recorded, that person gets charged with assault. Okay, there's no unwritten rule in baseball that justifies choking a guy. I'm sorry.
Well, technically, I'm pretty sure that. All right, you know what? I'm just gonna go. All right, because I'm gonna kind of go off on this guy a little more than I think you guys already have. But no, yeah, you don't, because you're 34 years old and the other guy's 22. Suddenly get the advantage of choking is now allowed. That just doesn't happen. That's not in the fucking law book. I'm 35, so I should be able to choke out 23-year-olds, right?
Right.
So I'm just walking around.
They haven't earned the right in life.
I'm walking around waiting for people to just, like, not hustle, and I'm just going to throw them up against walls and choke them the fuck out. Because what the fuck, man? Walk across the goddamn road, because I'm trying to fucking go across. It's a four-way stop, and you're just fucking moseying along like you ain't got nothing to do, and I ain't got to get to work by 9 o'clock. So guess what? Fuck you. Come here, throw you against the wall, grab your neck. No, that's not allowed. That is not allowed.
But Willie,
you
like an office situation. It's
you
totally
need to sit the fuck down and understand that you're a human being in human being society. And if we want to talk about like what's allowed in certain professional environments, let's talk about like, oh, well, you know, in this environment, I'm allowed to whip you because guess what? You're a fucking slave. Like, have we gotten past this or not? Like, what the fuck? No, you don't get to do this shit anymore. Like, we don't get to fucking cut off fucking people's heads in Saudi Arabia, even though they fucking do it. We don't get to choke you out in America because we've decided that we're a society above that. Fuck you. You don't get to fucking do that. And you don't get to fucking decide that, like, because someone talks shit about you one time, that now you get to fucking do whatever the shit you want. No. Fuck you. I think you need to just be fucking out. Like, no, that's it.
Man, I
all right, there you go.
I hate Bryce Harper. I think he's a piece of shit. I think he's arrogant.
Yeah, Bryce Harper's not going to fucking attack people without provocation.
But yeah,
someone yelling back, like Bryce Harper was essentially defending himself. He was saying,
he was.
"Hey, listen, yeah, got it." Like he's walking back, Papelbon's yelling.
He didn't make the first move.
Yeah, he's walking back. Papelbon's yelling. He gets in the dugout and he starts yelling back, like, "Yo, fuck you! What the fuck, man? What do you want me to fucking do?" Right? Maybe he's a fucking entitled piece of shit. I don't know. But whether he's an entitled piece of shit or not,
but who cares?
You don't just get to attack him. That's it. Like you don't get to do that. And if you attack somebody at your place of work, you get fired. That's how that works. That is how that works,
and
man.
You might even have a...
No, wait, you don't get sent out to give up a home run?
Oh.
No.
He did.
I mean, can you believe that he sent him back out there after the fight? He's like, oh, I didn't realize the extent of what went on.
There's a lot of other stuff outside of this that obviously it's like, okay. But
he's fired now.
He's essentially not coming back to his workplace at this point. No, but you're right. He is going to get a job again. And that's fine, too, because if your crime is I attacked a coworker and I choked him, I also don't think that that should be on your permanent record and you should never get hired again for a single job in your life. So get hired again at another company, which is another team. And, if you can prove yourself and not be a dick. Good to go.
Latrell Sprewell continued to get work even after choking his coach.
He was like a commentator later on. He choked his fucking coach, man. Shit happens. But you definitely need to take the fall now. Like you gotta go now. And that's what Papelbon's take. He's got the suspension he's done for the year. But We had Barry Bonds and Jeff Kent pushing each other in the dugout. We've seen this kind of stuff before. I understand that professional players don't necessarily work on the same scale as an office where you're selling products or whatever it is, but it still doesn't mean that assault is fine. It doesn't. And I'll say this too. Watching the video, Papelbon wasn't let me push you and show you what's up. Like he looked like he was legit trying to I'm coming in to hurt you right now. If it hadn't been for the immediate reaction of the teammates, I could have seen it getting real ugly real fast. That got ugly really, really fast. All right. Moving on. Why will we win it all? Oh, God. Can't even do this.
Oh, man.
All right. I'll start. It ain't happening. We ain't going to win it all. Go. Chat.
I was hoping for one chip off the block tonight by now. I thought the Giants, if they were going to win it, they're going to win it. Not in extra innings. They were positioned to do so. Until they blew it in the ninth. And as of right now, they're still tied. So, unfortunately, you can't even give me that extra 10% chance. It's just, it ain't happening, man. Okay? It ain't happening. But we'll see what happens.
Eric!
By the same token.
They're going to win it all because of the blood moon eclipse.
Oh, shit! Now we're getting... Okay. So it's some weird mythics,
Some crazy mojo. Nah, I they're not going to win it all, and I'm happy to have a year off. We can watch all these other new teams fight it out to see who's going to lose the title. The Giants.
I gotta say, my ulcer just really flared up during every single playoff series.
Eric just made a really good point.
And
right,
I'm just saying that, right
my
now,
my liver needs a year to recover every time.
I got no problem.
I don't need the stress, and it's okay that they're not in the playoff. This year. It's okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to be fine.
Yeah.
I don't have to rush home to watch
the game. The only stress to my liver and my ulcer is going to be if the Dodgers make the World Series and they've won 3 games and they're on the precipice of winning it.
If it's Dodgers-Royals, I'm going to be really upset.
Yeah, well.
Oh, that'd be ugly.
Yeah.
By the way, if it is Dodgers-Royals, I'm really looking forward to game three when the Royals all come out and stab the Dodgers to death in the sixth inning over, you know, a 99-mile-an-hour pitch that they hit whoever the fuck the Dodgers have. I don't even care anymore. Yeah, it's you know what? It's true. We own three sets of DVDs.
Yes, we do.
And we get to watch them anytime we want.
Yep.
There's a lot of YouTube videos I get to watch. I don't know if you've watched
the... I know what you're growling out there, Eric.
Sorry.
Another base hit.
I don't know if you've watched... Oh, shit. Did we lose?
No, not yet.
No. No, it's just first and second. One out.
All right. Anytime you're feeling sad, go watch a video on YouTube. It's the 27 outs of Tim Lincecum in 2010.
Yep.
That will make you cry on demand as a grown man.
I just do that with all three World Series. I just Google them and I just watch them and I go, oh shit, I can't believe I actually watched that.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah, you sit there and you get lost after a while. You don't realize you've been watching.
Oh yeah, it's like 2 hours later. Like,
are we so selfish that we think we need that every year?
No.
Or can we spread this around to some other cities? Right?
Let the Cubs get a chance. Let the Pirates get a chance. Toronto's going to be a good story next year.
Yeah. You know, I'd love to see the Mets win another one. That'd be cool.
No L.A. and probably no St. Louis.
Right.
Just no
St.
L.A.
Louis
ever
either.
Again. Yeah.
Right. No L.A., no St. Louis. Mm-hmm. I don't give a shit. The Yankees could win.
And the Yankees could
give
a shit. I don't.
Yeah. The Yankees are so far ahead. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. I think you guys are with me. All right. That's going to do it.
All right. Cool.
For episode number 97 of the Torture Cast. I want to thank everybody for hanging out with us. And this has been fun. I haven't done an episode with you guys in a while. Things have been really busy. I will be moving to Austin by January 1st. Maybe
before that early,
Yeah, January 1st is kind of the cutoff date, but it may happen before that. But anyway, this will be my last season in San Francisco, at least for the time being. But I will be back and forth, and I still would like to come to some games and sit in the press box if I can. That's still an option for us. But, TorchCast isn't going anywhere. I'm not leaving the TorchCast or anything like that. People have asked me, oh, are you still going to do the TorchCast? You don't live in San Francisco? I was like, what the fuck? Just because I don't live in San Francisco, I have to, not be a fan of the team that means more to me than anything else? No, fuck you. I will still be a huge Giants fan, and I will watch every Giants game, and that's how it's going to be. So don't worry about that. But... it is going to happen, and that's actually going to be a good thing for the TorchCast, because I'll have more time available to me to concentrate on all the podcasting stuff, which is, this is part of. Anyway, we'll see you for episode 98. We don't know what that episode is going to be like. Could be awesome. Could be kind of a funeral. We'll see.
Could be the best episode
98 is coming. So I want to give a shout-out to the guys who are with me. We got, of course, Chad King, who's ChadK21 on Twitter, and Eric Nathanson, who is at Two Out Hits. Obviously, Ben is not here. He's at Fried Duck. I am at Willie Dills on Twitter. Check us out. We are at TorchCast.com. Also, you can find us on YouTube and Facebook and all the places. So please check those out. And we'll see you for episode 98 very soon. Thanks for hanging out. A-boom.
A big thank you to everybody for listening to the TorchCast, the podcast by and for fans of the San Francisco Giants. Follow us on Twitter at TorchCast. You can also like us on Facebook or check out our blog at TorchCast.com. I also want to say thank you to Ashcon and Bailey for letting us use their song Feeling Like a Giant for our intro. For Ben Lee and Chad King, my name is Willie Dills saying we'll see you next time.